Hey, hockey fans. Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
If you're an HVAC technician and a call comes in, Grainger knows that you need a partner that helps you find the right product, fast and hassle-free. And you know that when the first problem of the day is a clanking blower motor, there's no need to break a sweat. With Grainger's easy-to-use website and product details, you're confident you'll soon have everything humming right along. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Are you ready?
Hey, you think you could tell us what to do? You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down!
Yeah, DGen Nation fam, what is up? What is happening? The DGen Nation podcast coming at you live, and we're here to break down the NFL DFS Week 17 picks. Of course, you know how we do it on DraftKings. Ryan Williams here. You can find me on Twitter and X at RyanAlexander_W. Joined, but as always, by the usual suspect, the godfather of TFA himself, Mr. Kevin Steele at FantasyRat13. Kev. We got a 9-gamer. I repeat, yep, you're right, 9-gamer. Main slate to break it down because we had Wednesday football. We had, Thursday football. We have Saturday football. We got Monday night football. And that leaves only 9 games to be played on a main slate. Kev, talk to the people, man. How are you feeling? How's it going? And let's get after it.
Yeah, I mean, I think this slate sets up pretty well. I think there's some interesting spots. I think it's kind of like, it's not like a full week on 18 type of slate, but like there's some of that to it with a lot of these teams starting to shut players down and the threat of players being shut down like during a game and stuff like that. And so like there's a lot of different angles to attack, I think, on this slate. There's some pretty positive totals with, you know, the Bengals and Cardinals game with far and away the highest total on this slate at 53.5 on the entire weekend. It sucks that the other two really good games are off this slate on Sunday night and Monday night football. But other than that, like the slate does set up pretty well. And I think there's some clear paths. I think people are the ways people are wanting to build. And I think that's what makes the slate interesting is because right now it looks like everybody's really trying to play that mid-tier running back and to try to pay up for the top tier, you know, wide receivers and the top tier, you know, obviously Trey McBride, spot here. And that's where everybody's trying to get to. So we're seeing like heavy ownership on, you know, Ashton Jeanty right now, which we'll talk about. But so I think it, like, if you can find a different angle, I think that's enough that's going to be able to set yourself apart.
Yeah, I think you hit it on the head, Kev. I mean, we're kind of getting into an interesting part of the season where, I mean, we do still have some games where we can expect, some fantasy goodness. I feel like there are some teams that are still playing for something, whether that be seeding or their playoff lives or what have you. It does become interesting though, Kev, when we take it, you know, think about, and we didn't break this down for the DGen Nation fam, but, you know, just us talking in chat about the Christmas Day slate, right? And it's like, you know, okay, these games are ugly, but, you know, if you're still playing, you know, what's going to happen and, you know, who's the highest team projected and things like that. People go into the Lions, but like, you know, as we get to this part in the season, that, you know, anything can happen, you know, with these teams. It's really important to look at matchups. It's really important to look at like who's out there for these teams. Like what, you know, offensive line injuries do we have? We got Max Crosby, you know, sitting out for the Raiders. Like, you know, that's important to mentioned with, you know, them having a player, a couple players maybe that are going to be highly owned. So, you know, predictability is something that we kind of live off of, right, with DFS, but it's kind of hard to predict when you get this late in the season. And I liked how you mentioned like the week 18 aspect of it, because while we still don't have that aspect of it, so to speak, where we're going to see, you know, a lot of backups playing, I don't feel like from a week 18 perspective, we still could see some uncertainty and be able to take some shots, you know, differently than the field is going to be able to get some leverage on a slate like this, where, you know, I do think that the projections are coming in rightly on some of these spots and some of these players, but I am going to try and look different. Maybe so much in one-offs and how I build, but not so much the stacks, or find creative ways to get onto popular stacks. So we'll see, but that's why we break it down for the people. And that's why we are here doing the show for you. Again, it's the week 17 NFL DFS pick breakdown here for the DGEN Nation fam. Appreciate you guys rocking along with us all season long. The DGEN Nation podcast, powered by the Fantasy Authority at FF_authority, is where you can find us on Twitter and X. Kev, as we always do, we're going to start off at the quarterback position for the people on this Sunday main slate. And when we're talking about the quarterback position here, you know, really, you got to start in the 6K range, I feel like, for me. I mean, you know, listen, people want to play Josh Allen against Philly. I get it, because it's Josh Allen. I mean, the dude's capable of breaking the slate. We talk about this every time when he's on the slate, and usually when we honor on him is when he's out there putting 45 points up on the board against the Bucks. But I digress. You know, really, for me, you know, I do like May, I do like Burrow, and I do like Trevor Lawrence this week. All of these quarterbacks are falling into the 6K range. We got Drake May. I think he's interesting because of, you know, what we talked about earlier in the season with Drake May, and what I would always allude to is, how the fuck do you get this dude right? Right? Because there's so many options from the past two. Well, we kind of have it a clearer picture now with the injuries that they, you know, have suffered to the wide receiver core. I believe Kayshon Boutte is going to miss this game. Mac Hollins is expected to miss this game, I believe, as well, too. So it makes it really, you know, really more of a narrow path when you're looking at, you know, just Stephon Diggs and Hunter Henry, and you know, maybe one of the other guys, you know, wide receiver guys, that is, like Pop Douglas or Kyle Williams or something like that, to be able to stack with May and leverage off of the running back position, who I expect to be popular against the Jets, as they're, you know, damn near two touchdown favorites against against this team. So do like Drake May. Obviously, he offers, you know, immense DFS break slate breaking ability with his legs to be able to rush the ball as well. So that's interesting. I mean, Joe Burrow at 6,500, you know, probably the easiest stack of the week is to just get him with Jamar Chase and call it a day. I do think there's interesting merit to get the running back in there, which we'll talk about a little bit later. But, you know, with these two guys, anytime these two guys are on the field, Kev, like together, it just is magic. We just need it to all come to fruition to be able to pay off. Jamar Chase is going to be one of the more popular plays on the slate. I mean, Joe Burrow is probably going to be one of the more popular quarterbacks on the slate. So it's, how do you get different with that lineup? But just putting those two into a lineup, I really feel like you're setting yourself up for success. And these Arizona games with Jacoby Brissett at the helm have just been absolutely incredible. I mean, he struggled, you know, last week, and it's been kind of frustrating with that situation pass catcher wise if Marvin Harrison's been in the picture, but you know, we could get some clarity on this game with it, especially with it being in Cincinnati. They're implied to score 30 points. It just is that straightforward to me. And then we get Trevor Lawrence, who, again, you know, I talked about it last week, I'll talk about it again this week. Like, I just never get the dude right. I can never, you know, figure him out. Was able to get, you know, on ETN the week that he, you know, catches three passing touchdowns, which is absolutely insane. But, you know, here we go again and back in the spot. This is a Colts team that's dealing with, you know, a ton of injuries on their defense, secondary especially. So, you know, Trevor Lawrence could absolutely have his way with this team yet again. He's only 6,100. This has been one of the more, this has been the hottest offense really in football over the past couple of weeks. So, you know, to not have interest in him on a 9-game slate like this, Again, with the Jaguars, I think they're implied to score, you know, about four touchdowns this week against Indy. And you know, kind of playing for some seeding, I think, as well, too, with the Broncos winning against the Chiefs on Christmas. So, you know, I expect them to be full throttle and full go. So those are the three that really, you know, pique my interest, Kev. I think, you know, with me, I'm trying to figure out what my portfolio is going to look like this week. But, you know, I'm usually running three max teams. So for me, I just wanted to mention those three guys because that's probably where I'm going to be leaning. But I do think there is merit. Depending on the Chris Olave injury, I could get back to Tyler Shuck again. I mean, this guy just keeps producing. He's only 5,200, and we do have a clear path. It is frustrating that, you know, we got Taysom Hill, who I guess we can talk about later, but, you know, he's out there passing touchdowns yet again and getting rushing yards. So we might have the Swiss Army knife of Taysom Hill being able to take away from what Tyler Shuck can do. But, you know, he still has rushing upside with his legs, so he's always going to be in the mix for me, and the stacking partners are pretty straightforward for him as well. If Chris Olave was to miss, that would definitely be interesting. I'd probably like Taysom Hill a little bit more, to be honest with you, but something to monitor there. And then the other guy would be Baker. With the loss last week, I feel like Tampa Bay, you know, they really have to be full throttle here to get a win. They're going against Miami, and teams against Miami have just absolutely been putting up points. I mean, the corpse of Aaron Rodgers was able to do something against this team. So, you know, Baker with his full allotment of weapons, you know, at the wide receiver position and Bucky Irving being back, I expect them to, you know, really try and get a go. Todd Bowles has been lighting a fire under this team over the past couple of weeks. So if they were going to make the playoffs, if they're going to make a case for themselves, you know, why not do it here in a pretty much like, you know, a pseudo home game environment, right? They stay in Florida and get to play Miami. So not too much travel for them. Really like to, you know, see what I could do with Baker teams, Baker and Mike Evans, especially with him being back and being in the mix is where I would want to go. Kev, what are you thinking about with the quarterback position and where your build's taking you thus far this week?
Yeah, I mean, I completely agree with you on Burrow and Lawrence. I mean, those two stand out as probably the two easiest ones to get to and to stack. I mean, just Joe Burrow, since returning in week 13, he ranks sixth in passing yards, second in touchdowns. He's a QB7 overall. The Bengals have been pass-heavy as well, averaging 38 pass attempts per game. Like you mentioned, highest game total on the slate. And since week 11, the Cardinals have allowed opposing quarterbacks to complete 67% of passes, which is the seventh highest rate, eighth highest yards per attempt, and the most passing touchdowns, which has resulted in allowing quarterbacks to get to about the ninth most fantasy points to quarterbacks per game. When it comes to Trevor Lawrence, dude's been on an absolute heater. Since week 12, he's averaging 270 passing yards with an 8.63 yards per attempt. And trails only Matthew Stafford. He also leads the league with 15 passing touchdowns and his 112.8 passer rating, leads off quarterbacks. He's also been excellent, averaging 27.5 fantasy points per game, which easily leads all quarterbacks over that same span. So, now, I will say, here's the one thing, the one caveat is the Colts defense has fallen off a cliff since losing Sauce Gardner, Shavarius Ward, and DeForest Buckner. Now, Sauce Gardner is expected to return to this game. So I think that is something to at least take into consideration. But DeForest Buckner, who came back initially, got shut down again, put on seasoning IR with a neck injury. So Buckner will be out. Shavarius Ward will be out. But Sauce Gardner does sound like he should be back for this game. But regardless of that, Vegas doesn't seem to mind because the Jaguars have the third highest team total on the slate. So I think when it comes to Trevor Lawrence, you also get a little bit of rushing upside there with him as well. He is tied for third among all quarterbacks with seven rushing touchdowns. So like, there's a lot to like with Trevor Lawrence. But at the same time, like, you kind of feel like at some point, like, when's the music going to stop? You're like, I don't think Trevor Lawrence is this good. But, I mean, the matchup is also really good. So it's tough to try to just absolutely fade this game or fade this spot. But with Sauce Gardner back, maybe it changes a little bit with how this Colts defense plays, but it's hard to get away from. Now, as far as like the cheaper quarterback plays, I think one of my favorites, probably Jackson Dart. Now, last week I wanted nothing to do with Jackson Dart whatsoever, but he's $5,400 this week because last week they were playing the Vikings. The Vikings defense has been absolutely incredible. Like, Brian Flores probably deserves head coaching consideration again with what he's been able to do with this team. Like, he probably should be a head coach now. But like, what he's been able to do with this defense has been incredible. But prior to that last week. I mean, you have to remember Jackson Dart was averaging 23 DraftKings points per game, which is second best among quarterbacks on this slate. Now, should be mentioned, the Giants ruled out, starting left tackle Andrew Thomas, right tackle Evan Neal, and as well as center John Michael Schmitz for this game. But on the other side of that, the Raiders ruled out Max Crosby. They're not going to have Colt Miller, their stud left tackle. So, like, these are two teams that are fighting for that number one overall pick and wanting to lose. But either way, like, no coach is going to go out here and just try to make them lose. And so I think this game is wild for – with as many defensive players about, as bad as these defenses are, this game really sets up to, like, this game could just go absolutely bonkers, right? Where, I mean, we could see a 38-31 type game from this environment because these defenses are so depleted with talent. Like, you're not going to have to worry about the Raiders being able to get to Jackson Dart here because they just don't really have any pass rush. It really was Max Crosby. So you're not going to have to worry about that. But it's also just a really cheap stack to be able to get to, because Wandale Robinson isn't overly expensive. You can stack him with Theo Johnson. You can stack him with Darius Slayton. And it's a very cheap stack to be able to get to everything else that you want to get to. And right now, Jackson Dart is only seeing about 7% ownership right now on the slate. And so I don't mind him. Now, I was kind of toying around, like, can you play Geno Smith? Because, like, quite frankly, the Giants defense is doing the same thing. They're missing multiple pieces. This defense has been giving up explosive plays all year. And the tough part now, though, with the Raiders is they ruled out Brock Bowers, kind of came out of nowhere. Now, Michael Mayer is a solid, tight end. Like, he's not Brock Bowers by any means, but, like, he certainly is a capable backup tight end. Trey Tucker, I think, opens things up. We'll talk about when we get to wide receiver. But, like, there's paths here where Geno Smith, he's $4,400. Again, it feels really gross, but if he can get you 16, 18 points on this slate, like, it can be enough to be able to allow you to get everything else into it. So if you want to pay down, like, I don't hate Geno Smith. I wouldn't do it in, like, a single inch or anything like that. But, like, he is at least viable, I think, as another option you can look at as a pay down option at quarterback. And then, like, I think if you want, like, Tyler Shook, I completely agree with you on him, $5,200 quarterback. Baker Mayfield is interesting to me. I know you brought him up. Like, he wasn't originally on my radar. Now I'll say, like, Miami secondary has been absolutely dreadful, especially recently. They have just been getting just crushed. And the only thing that would worry me here, though, with Quinn Ewers starting in this game is, do the Buccaneers get pushed at all? Do they just allowed to just run the ball down their throat, trust to lean on their defense, and just call this, game? And where Baker Mayfield doesn't really have to throw the ball. That's the only thing that concerns me with Baker Mayfield. I think the matchup is certainly there, but, like, if he doesn't get pushed at all, they don't get pushed, then it makes it really a little bit tougher to be able to get to somebody like Baker Mayfield when you have Jackson Dart, who's a little bit cheaper, Brissett's only $100 more. So, like I don't know if I'll get there, but, like, I think the process is definitely there. And it wouldn't shock me if Baker Mayfield came out and had a 30-point performance. Like, it would not surprise me whatsoever either, because the matchup is certainly there.
Yeah, no, it's just been he's just been so bad, right, for the past, like, however many weeks. I really don't know what's going on there with him, but, he's only got a multiple touchdown game in that matchup against Atlanta, who's just a sieve, right? And then really other than that, he was able to find a rushing touchdown against Buffalo, which kind of helped out. But, it's just been a struggle. I can't remember the last time he threw for 300 yards passing. You got to go
all the way back. The shoulder injury he suffered. He just hasn't been the same since then.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, he's a gamer, I do like Baker Mayfield a lot just as a player and, got a good story. But, if he's going to do it, Miami would be the week. But it's been a tough one to trust. But that's what makes it fun for GPPs is, he's been so bad that I don't know how many people will be able to get there. But definitely enticing stack for me. The other one, Kev, that I wanted to allude to, and I'll open it up to you to see if you have any others to talk about, is Sam Darnold. Sam Darnold, he's 5,900. He's going against Carolina. These Carolina games have been weird, right? Because, like, you never know what to expect from them. And, is a clean pocket on the other side for Bryce Young? Okay, maybe he'll have some success. But if they're able to get pressure, I enter the Seattle defense, like, it could be a long day. So, the thing about it is, how do you get there? But, you know, as we talk about week 17, Kev, we haven't really talked about this at all. We're getting into incentive portion of the year. And, you know, what guys need to do what in order to, you know, bring home the bag. And Sam Darnold needs like what, 4 passing touchdowns, I think, for like 500K, 270 some yards, get some like 250K. So, you know, and thinking about like who's going to be playing in week 18 and who's not, like this could be a week for a lot of these guys to really bring home some paper. So actually 500K for him for 279 passing yards. So we could see Sam Darnold try and sling it. You know, Jaxon Smith-Njigba is always going to pop off the page. That could make for an interesting skinny stack. You know, I don't even know if we need to go crazy with it to get another player in there. You might, you know, maybe you run it back with Tet, but not really a good matchup for him. But I think he might pop in some projection systems. So, you know, it makes for an interesting one there. How are you feeling about Sam Darnold this week?
I just don't necessarily love the spot. I think that you could just get Sam Darnold production just from playing JSN because it's been so heavily concentrated. I know recent weeks, Rashid Shaheed's starting to get more involved and AJ Barner, but it's also just hasn't really been a great matchup. The Panthers have actually been pretty good against the pass for the most part this year. I think over the last 5, the Panthers are allowing the third fewest DK points to quarterbacks. So it's just not the best matchup, I think, for Sam Darnold. And that game feels like it could be really low scoring, kind of a gross game. Mm-hmm. And so, like, I don't think you need to do it with where he is priced at 5,900, like even more expensive than Brissett. I mean, he's only $200 cheaper than Lawrence. Like, I just don't think we really need to get there when there's just other plays, I think, that are on the slate.
No, I hear you. And that's what's enticing to me, Kevin, just what you said right there, because anytime we don't expect Carolina to push, they push. And so we could see it in a home matchup here that maybe they show out. I don't think that it's likely, but you know, Sam Darnold's interesting to me always because of you know, with the way JSN pops and like, you know, having him as a one-off. Obviously, like you said, he can get there just on the sheer volume because he's just dominant. But if he goes out there, has a multi-score game, and they do some of the bullshit. The other thing, Kev, too, is like I say it every week. I'm not trusting the Seattle backfield. Like, I refuse to trust them in any way, shape, or form capacity. So do we get more passing touchdowns than not? With Sam Darnold being at the helm, we shall see. Any other quarterback you want to talk about, Kev, before we move on to running back position?
I mean, I think those are the ones that stand out the most to me. Like, you know, you can play Drake May. You can play Josh Allen for sure, but he has to be pushed. You know, Philadelphia and Buffalo are both clinched. Like, I mean, yeah, I mean, I guess technically, again, you have seeding stuff to worry about. But overall, I don't think there's a ton here. Josh Allen's been dealing with this, like, foot injury, but it does sound like he was practicing full today. But, like, he needs to really be pushed. Like, could that happen in this spot? Sure. I mean, obviously, the Eagles' offense is good enough to be able to do it, but their offense hasn't played great either. But they're not drawing any ownership, Jalen Hurts or Josh Allen. But, you know, and Drake May, I think, is also somebody you talked about. But the only thing that worries me with him is, like, are the Jets going to do anything whatsoever to force the Patriots to not just run the ball, you know, 40 times in this game and just – you know, grind it out that way and not really force Drake May to have to throw a ton. So, like I'm not as excited about Drake May. Like, I definitely think you can, like, if I'm playing, you know, 20, playing at a 20 max, 150 max, whatever, I'm definitely going to have Drake May exposure for sure. But, like, in, like, a 3-entry max type setting, like, I just think there's better plays that you could get to instead of going with Drake May just because of I would be concerned about, you know, that game environment and how it's going to set up, and really do they even need to throw the ball all that much?
Yeah, no, fair enough. All right, so yeah, let's open it up and talk about the running back position. You know, we got an interesting one that shapes out here with a lot of high profile running backs being on the slate cap, but I don't know that they're all going to project well with just how things are shaping up. You know, Devon Achane at the top, but he's 8,500. He's with Quinn Ewers. The passing volume was down without, you know, Tua being there to just kind of pepper him with targets, but it is still just an incredible matchup for him. Do they try and, you know, run it a little bit more. McDaniel's trying to save his job. Yeah, I could see him get some touches. So, but at 8,500, you're definitely going to have to, you know, tuck yourself into a story. I would probably like him on my Baker stacks, but other than that, it's going to be tough. James Cook is like, you know, if you're not playing Josh Allen, do you want to get to James Cook? Because Buffalo always finds a way to get to 30 points, it feels like. So, like, if they're going to be scoring touchdowns, where's it going to come? It could just come on the ground from him. Jonathan Taylor being priced down at 7,800, like, it's Jonathan Taylor. So, like, in this Jacksonville matchup, you know, what are we to expect? And then, you know, Saquon Barkley gets an outstanding matchup going against this Buffalo team that we've been targeting running backs against all year. He's actually got some incentives, I believe, on the table for him. Where was it that I saw? He needs like 100, 155 yards for 250K. Like, that could be some nice change for him. So Saquon Barkley's one, I think, of the top plays or the most high price plays that I'm interested in. Chase Brown is another one too that's interesting to me. I feel like every week you kind of are the one that's kind of banging the drum for Chase Brown and what his usage is being, and especially with Joe Burrow being back in the mix. This was the guy who I was talking about being able to throw into that Jamar Chase stack with him, you know, because he's going to definitely find work at running backs against. I mean, this game just looks absolutely incredible, Cincinnati, Arizona, with the way these two defenses set up. So just to get exposure to that game across the board is going to be great. So then we get into the interesting part of the slate, Kev, right? Because you got Travis Etienne, who's 7,100. I think he's going to be one of the more popular plays on the slate going against Indy with the workload that he's seeing in the matchup that this is just going to be phenomenal. Travion Henderson is banged up. He's 6,400. They're going against the Jets. They're nearly favored by two touchdowns. So, you know, it's going to be an interesting one to see there. But you know, I don't think people will get there. So then you go down to Ramondre Stevenson, who's 5,900 and could just get the work because of the way the matchup sets up. And if, you know, they want to keep Travion healthy as they get, you know, into trying to, you know, get to their Super Bowl aspirations, we could see them shut him down early. So Stevenson, I expect to be real popular. And then we probably have the most popular play on the slate, right? No Brock Bowers, 6,100, Ashton Dinty. Nobody wanted to play him last week. What was that against Denver? 5,900, and he goes out there. Say that again.
The Texans.
Oh, Texans, right, Texans. So, yeah, tough front seven, but goes out against the Texans and in a tough matchup, right, and no business being in that game, but Ashton Dinty, like, putting the team on his back like a Jan Sport and just goes out and crushes. Nobody's on him. Now he's 6,100 in a favorable matchup against the Giants at home. Everybody's going to want to play him, right? But as a popular play like that, it could be real tricky. So talk to me, Kev, about running back position. And, you know, I think there's some others in the 5K range that are going to be interesting, too, that stand out. Maybe Kenneth Gainwell, maybe Michael Carter for you. But talk to the people on where what running back is looking for you and where you could be going.
Yeah, I mean, Ashton Dinty right now is drawing 52% or it's about 50% ownership right now. And like I said, like, I get it from the, like, lineup construction building aspect of this and, like, how this sets up really well. He's projecting really well. You know, he's probably projected as the top five running back on the slate. He's 6,100. Like, there's so much to like here, but when someone's going to be 50% owned, like, what would worry me here is we know that the Raiders are trying to actively lose this game. And like what happens if Ashton Dinty at any point in this game, you know, gets a little bit of an ankle twist or anything like that. We saw this with the Cowboys on Thursday where, like, I don't think the Javonte or Jake Ferguson injuries are anything serious when it comes to them. But, you know, when you're out of it, you're not playing for anything. They're trying to tank. They're actively trying to tank. And so, it, you know, in the event that anything were to happen to Dinty, I think they would just pull him. And, like, so I think there's a lot of, like, volatility here with this play of playing somebody that's 50, that's going to be 50% rostered, like, or owned. But, like, I get it. Like, the play is phenomenal. The play is great. The Giants have been so bad against the run this year. They're right there. They're arguably really worse, actually, than the Bengals are against the run, like, on a per-touch basis. Like, they have been so incredibly bad. The Raiders are 2.5-point favorites. So, like, I get it. Like, I'm not saying, like, to completely avoid them because, obviously, there's a ton of upside here. We just saw it last week. In matchups where, you know, they've played really well, or this offense has played well, like, at close games, like, Dinty has played well. Like, we've seen spike weeks. We saw it last week, 35 points from last week, week four against Chicago. You know, he put up 37. Like, there's a lot of upside here, but there's also downside with him as well. Where I see other running backs, I guess, and especially in, like, tournament settings, where I think there's, you know, in this same game, like Tyrone Tracy is right now projected for less than 10% ownership right now. And again, this is an incredible spot. I mean, over the last, I think since week 11, Tyrone Tracy is averaging over 18 touches per game. He's averaging over 16 DraftKings points per game over that span. That's top 12 among all running backs. And so Tracy, again, and the Raiders rush defense is actually earlier in the year, the Raiders rush defense was actually really good. And they've fallen off a cliff. Like the last 5 weeks, they've allowed the second most scheduled adjusted fantasy points to running backs. And so like Tyrone Tracy is, he's been pretty much the workhorse back over the last month of the season. And he's 5,400. Like he's significantly cheaper. And like, this isn't like some like environment where we're talking about this. We're like, oh man, okay. Well, you know, Jinty's in such a this incredible spot. Well, so is Tyrone Tracy, but the ownership is not coming along with him. Like obviously there's a talent gap between Ashton Jinty and Tyrone Tracy, but I still think that we've seen, you know, Tyrone Tracy be more consistent actually recently than what when Ashton Jinty's been. And there shouldn't be a 40% ownership gap between the two of them. So I think just incredible leverage off of Ashton Jinty is Tyrone Tracy, you know, at $5,400. So I love him, you know, as a pay down option. And if he's going, and I'm probably going to be well above the field on Tyrone Tracy, just because I love the spot, the matchup's great. Everything else is there for him. Now the one that we're gonna have to monitor is going to be Dylan Sampson. Obviously Quinshon Judkins suffered that fractured fibula, dislocated ankle last week. And so right now it looks like it's going to be Dylan Sampson. He has not officially been cleared yet. He has gotten limited participation all week. If he's able to go at $5,100, like he's probably going to be the workhorse here. And it's not the not necessarily like an incredible matchup, but he's heavily involved in the passing game. We've seen him at times this year where they have actually led on him. And we've actually obviously seen games without Quinshon Judkins, because obviously Judkins missed the first part of the year with everything that was going on with his contract. But, you know, week one against Cincinnati, he scored 17.3. Like at 5,100, I think there's enough here where Dylan Sampson, who is definitely the pass catching back, probably handles 78% of the workload here, probably in this backfield, if you know, he's able to go. If not, I even think there's probably some, you know, at least something to look at here with Rocket Sanders. Last week, once Judkins went down, he was definitely the guy that was handling most of the early down work. 11 carries, 42 yards, also was targeted one time in that game. And keep in mind, you're with Pittsburgh. Like Pittsburgh's going to be without DK Metcalf. They already don't have wide receivers. Now, again, they're going to try to run the right ball. I think it's going to be game script, really gross type game environment. But at $5,100 for Dylan Sampson or $4,800 for Rocket Sanders, like, again, neither of these guys are drawing any ownership right now. Maybe Sampson's changes if once we get the word if he's playing or not, and maybe that ownership comes up on him. But either way, I think Sampson, especially Sampson, if he's in, I really like that spot for him. As far as the Steelers running backs are concerned, like I know everyone's going to want to play Kenneth Gainwell because of how heavily involved he's been in the passing game. I just wonder, like, does he see the same type of volume that he's seeing? Because the last 3 weeks, he has seen 21 targets over the last three games, but those are very close game environment type games. And I wonder if, you know, do they just lean more on Jaylen Warren here in this spot against Cleveland and just try to, you know, run the ball? Don't get me wrong. I think Gainwell will be involved, but I don't know if he's going to see the same type of passing work here in this spot. But maybe without DK Metcalf, maybe it persists. But I do like Jaylen Warren as well. Now, Jaylen Warren's a little more expensive at $6,600, so it's priced in there. But I think the big wild card, though, on this slate in terms of running backs is going to be Bucky Irving, because he is down to $6,200, but sure, he has been bad over the last 2 weeks. There's no getting around it. 7.1, 8.1 DraftKings points the last two games. The problem is, though, like the thing is with him is like the volume has been there, at least on the ground. 19 carries, 16 carries the last 2 weeks. The pass catching volume dropped off a cliff last week. Saw zero targets. I don't know why that is. He's pretty much been a guy that's seen like 3 to 5 targets most games. He was not involved in the passing game. And then probably the more frustrating thing, the thing of note with him, has been Sean Tucker just coming in and taking away. Like he has turned into the Kenneth Walker, you know, of all of a sudden Zach Sean Charbonnet. Tucker being, yeah, Zach Charbonnet coming in and stealing his touches from him. But $6,200, going to carry no ownership. Good matchup for the most part against Miami. So $6,200 Bucky Irving, like I think that it wouldn't shock me one bit, like, if he goes out and has a 25-point performance, kind of like Kenneth Walker did last week out of nowhere, where nobody wanted to play Kenneth Walker, and, you know, and he ended up going off for 28 draft piece points last week. Like, I think that's in the range of outcomes for Bucky Irving, who's $6,200.
Yeah, no, but Bucky is really interesting to me. I would definitely include him in my Baker builds as well, too, because of the usage and work that he's seeing, even with the receiving corps being as healthy as it is. You know, I mean, yeah, if you want to, you know, hey, Sean Tucker and Rashad Wright still be in the mix. But, you know, this is up against the wall for them, backs up against the wall to try and to make a statement. Like, you got to get your best players the ball. So I feel like we could really see a strong workload for Bucky here in this matchup and really get him going. And he has big play, you know, big playmaking ability, explosive ability that people could forget about. So he could really, you know, do some damage here. The running back position, as you've alluded to, Kev, that is going to be very, you know, the ownership is going to be very concentrated on a couple guys. So if you have a guy, you know, who's off the radar going for 25 or 30 points, like, you're going to be setting yourself up for success. If those popular guys, you know, don't break that 20 point threshold, you could really be chilling. So, yeah, I do like Bucky a lot, like that call out there. And you know, even with the situation with Pittsburgh, I think both are in play. Like, I think Warren and Gainwell are both in play, but, you know, we see Rodgers just favor these guys at the running back position so much. Like, I think Kenneth Gainwell's kind of, you know, gotten into that Aaron Jones role for him back when he was in Green Bay. And the rapport that they have has just been insane. So I feel like they could really, you know, pop off there. You got anything else at running back, Kev, or you want to keep it moving?
No, I mean, as far as the top guys, I guess, like, I think, you know, James Cook is going to continue to stand out to me. This has been just on another, you know, he's continue to be one of the best running backs in the league this year. 8K, like, he's probably the highest I want to go. Like, I don't mind Devon Achane at all, but, like, he just, like, I feel like I said this last week, but, like, he just doesn't offer much of a ceiling. Like, he really has, like, one game this year where he, like, broke the slate where he scored 43.5, but everything else has just been like the 16 to 18 range or 18 to 20 range for him. And at $8,500, like, don't get me wrong, he certainly is talented enough. He could definitely get there, but I just have concerns about game environment. And, like, last week we kind of saw it with him, only saw three targets in that game. Like, so, like, that is obviously concerning. You know, we've talked so much about Quinn Ewers and, you know, like, our Devon Achane without Tua back there, and how that kind of changes things. And, you know, last year, now obviously last week was way more encouraging with his 18 DraftKings points that he scored than, like, because last year, Achane without Tua was only averaging like 8.5 DraftKings points per game. But still, like, he just doesn't offer as much ceiling. And so, like, I'm not as excited about Achane. I think for me, it's going to be James Cook at the top, and then probably Saquon would be the other one, just because, again, both of these teams are really bad against the run, and both of these guys could definitely get there. I would prefer James Cook, though, you know, not considering price, just over Saquon, because Saquon's been good, but again, you know, like, what ceiling does he have? Even last week, you know, getting a really good matchup, 24.2 DraftKings points. Again, not terrible, but, like, I'm looking more for, like, the gotta-have-it score. Like, you had to have him to win. And I don't know at this point if Saquon, like, at least what he's shown to this point, you know, if he can provide that. And so, like, as far as the elite tier up here, I think it would be James Cook is the guy that I gravitate the most towards. I know you talked about Chase Brown, but he's $7,400 now. And I really like Chase Brown. But this is the only thing that I will point out with him and the volatility that he's going to possess, because, like, he has not been good on the ground. Like, that is not how he's gotten there. Mm-hmm. Now, I will say, since Joe Burrow has returned, Chase Brown is the RB4, averaging over 20 DraftKings points per game, which is the fourth highest among all running backs. But rushing hasn't been great. He's only averaging 11 carries per game and 55 rushing yards per game on the ground. Now, receiving has been where he's crushed. He's averaging 5.5 targets, 31 receiving yards per game, and he leads the league with 3 receiving touchdowns. The only issue I see with Chase Brown right now is just necessarily that we're seeing so much more Samaje Perine mix in and get opportunity, because don't get me wrong, this match is phenomenal too, because Cardinals are have allowed the most schedule adjusted fantasy points to running backs, and they also allow the fourth most schedule adjusted fantasy points to pass catching running backs. So Like, it's an incredible spot, but he is more expensive at $7,400. And if he were to happen to lose a touchdown to Samaje Perine, and let's say he doesn't score, you know, as a pass catching back, then I think it really caps his upside. And so, like, that's what worries me a little bit about Chase Brown, because he is not seeing the same workload he was when Samaje Perine was out with that high ankle sprain. Now that he's come back, it has dropped. He has lost opportunity. He's not running as many, or he's not playing as many snaps as he was prior to that. So it does offer some volatility here at $7,400. Like, it was one thing when Chase Brown was $6,500. You know, it's easier to justify, but now that he's $7,400, I think it's a little bit more of a tricky spot to get to.
Yeah, he is, and I mean, we do get T. Higgins back, or T. Higgins this week as well too. So I mean, like, you know, it's tough to see, but I think Arizona being able to push on the other side, if they are able to get there, provides merit for everybody, you know, on that offense to be able to pay off. And it, you know, it's, running backs have been strong against them, but yeah, it is tough to think. I would like him in the game environment bet more so than a one-off this week, but definitely wanted to mention him and bring him up. And Kev, as we talk about, like, let's talk about the wide receiver position, right? Because, you know, in that Cincinnati and Arizona game, right, we're going to have, you know, probably, you know, two of the more popular pass catcher plays. One of them plays wide receiver, and that will be Jamar Chase at 8,300, who just continuously, you know, gets pepper with targets. I mean, 8,300 is really kind of too cheap for the profile that this guy, you know, presents, and just being one of the top receivers in the game when Joe Burrow is at the helm and his quarterback. I mean, even when he's not, he's still going to get pepper with targets, but, you know, gets right back in there, you know, 9 for 109, doesn't find nine for 109, doesn't get in the end zone. But, you know, when he gets in the end zone and is getting a target share that he's seeing, you know, he's going to be one of the top plays that you're going to want to have. And just above him is Jackson Smith and Jigba, who, you know, is going to shape up well as well too at 8,600. If you can find ways to get both of these guys into your lineup, I feel like that's going to be really strong, probably more, you know, for people who, you know, play in low or high dollar, low entry field, single entry or cash games. But, you know, I think that still is a strong way to attack some GPPs in ways that I'm looking to as well, because the two guys just are leaps and bounds, you know, at the tops of their position this week. And it being a 9-game slate, you know, that makes sense. With it being a 9-game slate too, we got Chris Olave, all of a sudden the third highest priced wide receiver on DraftKings, 7,200. I mean, the rapport that he's, you know, made for himself with Tyler Shuck has been, you know, pretty incredible. And we know that the volume has just been there absolutely pretty much all year. You know, Chris Olave is on the injury report, so something that we want to monitor going into that Sunday main slate. But if he's able to go, I mean, he just put up a 40 point DK performance last week, you know, catching two touchdowns. You can't really predict the touchdowns for Olave, but the share has been there all year. So, you know, can't hit on people for going back to that play. Talked about Mike Evans, you know, getting him in the mix with Baker. I think Mike Evans is a strong play as well at 6,500. We know he's got two touchdown upside in his bag anytime. And this could be the week against Miami where he will pay that off.
Hey, hockey fans, can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
If you're an HVAC technician and a call comes in, Grainger knows that you need a partner that helps you find the right product fast and hassle-free. And you know that when the first problem of the day is a clanking blower motor, there's no need to break a sweat. With Grainger's easy-to-use website and product details, you're confident you'll soon have everything humming right along. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know, the 6K range outside of that for me is kind of tough to get to. You know, Michael Jordan Wilson, that is, not Jordan when Marvin Harrison is out there on the field as well too. He's questionable. We'll monitor his status to see if he can go, because if he can't go, then I think Wilson does become interesting to me at the $6,400 price tag. And just really, I mean, all the pieces are expensive that you want in that game, but if you can find some cheap ways to pay it, and we'll get into that, to play it, it's just, you know, you know where the, where, what's going to happen if that game gets explosive. So, but until then, if we don't have Marvin Harrison out, then I don't think I can get there. T. Higgins, yeah, is always going to make sense with Joe Burrow. Like, Joe Burrow actually always seems to just, you know, they see the offense just seems to play really well when T. Higgins is able to find his groove. At $6,300, you know, he could be the cheapest way to kind of get exposure to that game if you go there with the double stack. In the 5K range, Kev, you kind of alluded to it. You know, Jackson Dart, disappointing last week, but in this Raiders matchup this week, I don't know why people aren't talking about Wandale Robinson more. He was one of the more popular plays when Jackson was kind of getting going, and with the target share that he could, you know, potentially be seeing, and the way that this game environment shapes up. I do like Wandale Robinson. I really hadn't thought about playing the Jackson Dart side of it, but with so many popular pieces on the Raiders side, like if you just full stack that game, and you know, that's the ugly game where the team's playing for, you know, the number one pick, but it actually could be guys just going out there and really just showing out a lot of backyard football. So Wandale Robinson definitely sticks out to me. Jacoby Myers at $5,300 might be the best play in my eyes on the slate. You know, I think people will look at, you know, what Parker Washington did last week and try and chase that, but Jacoby Myers has really carved out a significant role for him. It's going to be a better matchup for him against Indy than it was last week, and I really expect him to be able to pop off against Indy at only $5,300 is just way too cheap in my eyes. I'm interested to see what you're thinking about the Indy receivers, Kev, because I can't really get there. I think Josh Downs will be popular, and you do like what you're seeing with Philip Rivers has been doing, and you know, with the low eight out there, you know, maybe he gets some more work to Michael Pittman or Josh Downs or potentially the tight end, but it's just such a guessing game. I just don't know who he's going to lock in at and target. So that's what makes it tough. In the cheap range, Trey Tucker, I think, is going to stand out to people because he's $3,800 and no Brock Bowers and going against this Giants team. So I expect him to jump off the page for people. But Darius Slayton as well at $3,900, you know, another cheap way that I was kind of looking to get into lineups. And again, not considering Jackson Dart, I might have to do so with some doubles. But Darius Slayton has, you know, really high upside against this Raiders team. He could really get loose. He's still seeing a decent target share as well, with, you know, no less than four targets in the games that he has played in, and or I guess last week he only saw two, but you know, that was an anomaly coming off of a 10 target game in week 15, and had seen four, you know, targets consistently before that in his games before he was hurt. So I think I could find ways to get to him. And then lastly, you know, looking at this New England situation, I skipped over him, Kev, but I do love Stephon Diggs too at $5,800. If I'm playing Drake May, I'm gonna play Stephon Diggs, no question about it. I even think he makes for a solid one-off play with the situation that they find themselves in. I can't really get there on any of the other New England guys, but he's only $5,800, so that definitely provides some value. But you know, maybe even if we do get Pop Douglas is on the injury report too, I guess. So if we do get Pop, even, you know, potentially missing this game, then I think we would have to definitely look at Kyle Williams, who's only $3,300 and would firmly be in the mix there at wide receiver for me. Kev, talk to the people about wide receiver and where are you looking at? Where is it taking you this week as you build?
Yeah, I mean, as far as Chris Olave, one, it sounds like he's going to be good to go. It sounds like it was the maintenance day. He's been dealing with the back injury. He's been dealing with that for weeks. It sounds like he's going to be good to go, but he's been incredible. Especially, you know, obviously last week coming off that huge performance, but even the week before that, he's just with Rashid Shaheed gone. Like it's been pretty easy to know exactly where the targets are going to go to. And, you know, and so Olave at $7,200, great spot, great matchup here for him. We know the Titans have been horrendous against passing games. Unless they're playing the Chiefs with Chris Oladokun. But other than that, you know, they've been really bad against opposing passing offenses. So Olave, I think, is one of the better – I mean, especially with him being $7,200, I mean, he's you know, over $1,000 cheaper than both JSN and Ja'Marr Chase. Now, I think that, I mean, right now Chase is drawing 40% ownership, and I get it, but I also think that I don't understand why Higgins isn't drawing, you know, really good ownership, and that might be the leverage play, because T. Higgins, as we know, like even going back to last year with Joe Burrow, like last year he was seeing a higher first read target share last year than was JSN, and so, or JSN, than was Ja'Marr Chase. And so I think T. Higgins is in just as good of a spot here as Ja'Marr Chase is, and he's $6,300, and he's not drawing anywhere close to the ownership that Ja'Marr Chase is. And so I like T. Higgins' leverage play off of Ja'Marr Chase. We've seen ceiling games from him. Just the last two games that he's been healthy. You know, last week wasn't as good, but they've also kind of they steamrolled Miami. They didn't have to do as much. But still, even going back 2 weeks against Buffalo, he scored 27.2. Like, there's a lot to like here with T. Higgins. And so $6,300, significantly cheaper than the top guys. Again, it's a way to, if you want to play Joe Burrow in that game environment, then getting a little bit different, saving a little bit of salary as well. Or, you know, I don't mind either if you want to do a double stack with Chase and Higgins. Like, that's also a possibility. But Higgins, I think, sets up really well at $6,300. And then you mentioned Wan'Dale Robinson. Again, I really like the spot for him with Wan'Dale, with Jackson Dart. Since week 12, Robinson easily leads the team in first read target share at 38%. He also, which is surprising just because of his size, he actually leads the team in end zone targets over that same span as well. And so Wan'Dale at $5,700, you could play Darius Slayton for sure. A little bit more boom or bust profile just because he is the deep threat in this offense. Has like a 16.1 average depth of target. I think for Wan'Dale, it's like 11.1. Now, Wan'Dale used to be a player that I never would have ever considered because they never used to really utilize him as a deep threat. But that's kind of changed this year. They've been more willing to give him deep looks. And so I think that helps Wan'Dale Robinson, but he's $5,700, really good spot. You know, he sees a really healthy target share every single game. And so I think Wan'Dale is certainly a great play with Jackson Dart. And so I like that. Theo Johnson, I think you could probably put in there as well as a stacking partner with Jackson Dart. I think Trey Tucker is somebody that I'm really going to like this week, especially with no Brock Bowers. You know, we've seen, you know, obviously the huge spike week that he had all the way back in week 3 where he put up 43.9. Like, I don't think that is in the range of outcomes. But, I mean, I think at $3,800, I mean, if you told me he scored, you know, 15 to 18 DraftKings points, mm-hmm. I definitely think that's in the range of outcomes for this team. Again, you know, the Giants defense has been decimated. They give up, I think, the third most passes or receptions of 20-plus yards this year. And so, you know, you can definitely get some explosives out of Trey Tucker here in this spot. So $3,800 Trey Tucker, and he's not drawing the ownership that I thought he would. Maybe that changes as the weekend goes by. But as of right now, he's not. And so if you're looking for some salary saver, I think Trey Tucker is somebody that you can look at here. I'm kind of curious. Like, I don't know what's going to happen with DK Metcalf rolled out. Again, I don't know if they really throw the ball that much to really need to, but like Adam Thielen, like, I don't know, like, he saw four targets last week. He's kind of, you know, getting acclimated with this offense, but he's $3,400. Like, I don't know. It feels kind of gross, but like you could look there. As far as Kyle Williams is concerned, I know you talked about all the Patriots being out. Only thing with him though is he has just been solely the deep threat in this offense. Like, they do not utilize him at anything else. Like, everything is deep downfield. He's kind of like Kayshon Booty, but Kayshon Booty being out, like, he definitely could, you know, rip off a 60-yard touchdown at $3,300. Like, it's in the range of outcomes, but there is a ton of volatility because he could easily get you zero as well. Like, it's in the range of outcomes, but they're missing so many pieces in this in their pass catching core that, like, you could probably look at Kyle Williams as an option as another salary-saving wide receiver. As far as the Colts side goes, I think, to me, Josh Downs, I think, is somebody that you know, saw 9 targets last week. You know, I know Alec Pierce is going to get all the love because he scored the 2 touchdowns in that game. But Josh Downs was the guy, you know, earned 9 targets there. Not a bad matchup. I mean, the Jaguars' pass defense is not great. It hasn't really been most of the year. You could definitely throw on them. So $4,200 Josh Downs. I prefer him among the other wide receivers here with Alec Pierce and Michael Pittman, they're all cheap. They're all sub 5K. But Josh Downs, I think, is the one that I like the most. And it's been kind of interesting because one thing that killed Josh Downs earlier in the year and it has really held him down for most part this year has been that they've ran a lot of like 13 personnel. So that took Josh Downs off the field. But with Philip Rivers, they have been running a lot of 11 personnel with three wide receivers on the field, which has allowed Josh Downs with Philip Rivers to see a lot more targets. And so I don't mind. I think Josh Downs is a very interesting play. He's not really drawing heavy ownership either. And so, like, I think he's sub 10%. So Josh Downs, $4,200, I think another salary-saving wide receiver that we could get into our lineups this week. So to me, like, when it comes to the higher-end guys, like, JSN is an incredible play. He's not drawing the ownership that Ja'Marr Chase is right now. And if I just had to choose between one or the other, it probably would be JSN because he is the guy. And he is the guy that's going to consistently draw targets. And it is an incredible matchup for him, though. I will say that, too, because the Panthers run, I think it's cover three at, like, it's almost 50% of the time. And he absolutely shreds cover three. So JSN is $8,600. And he's, I think, like, almost 20% less raw or owned than what Ja'Marr Chase is. So $300 difference. I was trying to find the difference outside of a Joe Burrow stack to get to JSN if I had to.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I hear you, Kev. I think, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Trying to fit them both into lineups, I can definitely see people doing that. And you do it with the Raiders pieces, right? It is weird that we have, you know, probably three Raiders. I mean, you mentioned Trey Tucker. I do think he'll be popular just as we get closer to Sunday because of what you could do. Granted, now no crazy news happens, right, that opens up some insane value. But if it stood right now, I think that Trey Tucker allows you to get, you know, to these high profile players that you would want. So we could have two to three, you know, Raiders in a majority of lineups and nobody, you know, playing Geno, which, you know, makes sense. But it's like Geno, dude, even with the pass attempts being there, like, it's hard to see all three of these dudes getting there. It's hard to see Jinty and Meyer and Tucker all getting there with the way that Geno's run out, you know, this year. Because, you know, even when he throws the ball 40 times, he hasn't really put it all together in the matchup. So it does make me a little bit weary to be loading up that way. But, you know, I think on paper, you know, I get at least getting two Raiders into your lineup, right, is going to provide value, probably from the pass catcher standpoint. You know, first and foremost, well, I mean, Jinty is an incredible play on paper, but yeah, the pass catchers with their price tags allow you to do a lot with that salary. Anything else you want to touch on at the wide receiver position, Kev?
No, I don't think so. But other than the Jaguars wide receivers, I completely agree with you on the Jacoby Myers. Dude's just been seeing an insane, like, it's like 36% target per out run rate since he's joined the Jaguars. So he's the clear wide receiver one. The Colts allow the most DraftKings points to to the team's number one wide receiver. So Jacoby Myers, and he's just, I don't know why he's only 53. It's one of these mispricings that we see a lot with DraftKings, and it's definitely one of them. Somehow he went down. Last week he was 5,500. I know he's coming off like a 8.6 point game, but that was also against the Jag or the Broncos, so things are a little bit different there. Still saw eight targets in that game, and so he's really great. And then I actually prefer, I think, Parker Washington is another stacking partner with him. I know he's coming off this huge game, and it's not just because of that. He is averaging, like, I think when Brian Thomas Jr. And Parker Washington are now playing more of a full-time role, he has been pretty solid. And he sees enough targets, I think, to make him a viable option here. And so $4,800 Parker Washington, like, I'm not anywhere close to coming to expect what he did last week.
Yeah.
But, you know, with Sauce Gardner back, like, it's kind of a little bit similar situation to, like, well, you know, just Sauce Gardner, you know, is he going to shadow Jacoby Myers or is he going to shadow a Brian Thomas Jr. where it leaves things open for Parker Washington. And so, like, Parker Washington has been kind of the safety valve because he runs most of his routes from the slot. And so it kind of opens things up for him. And so, like, I still think he's in play.
Yeah, I think that, I mean, the way that the offense has been going, right, all these guys are going to be in play. But, you know, I think Jacoby Myers has a real chance to, you know, put put his name out there on, yeah, I mean, he's on the map already, but really, really show that people why he's the wide receiver one and why this team brought him in to, you know, make a run that they're doing, because the way they've been playing is absolutely incredible. So that's where I'm looking. Kev, at the tight end position, man, you know, Brock Bowers is on the IR, but Trey McBride, who's $2,000 more than the player who's on the IR, comes in at $7,500, and, you know, you just slot him in at wide receiver. Like, he technically is the third highest priced wide receiver on the slate, but the price tag is just, it makes sense. I mean, and we've been talking about this for weeks, like, looking forward to this matchup with him taking on this Cincinnati team that has been a sieve to tight ends all year. I mean, what's his stat line going to be like? What does he finish with? Is it 20, 25 DK points? Is it 20 DK points? Is it 30? Is it 40? Does he damn near get 50? I mean, he could just absolutely obliterate this Cincinnati team. And especially if Marvin Harrison does end up missing this game, you know, he's going to be one that I definitely have a lot of interest in and want to get to, because I just don't even care about the price tag anymore. If Jacoby Brissett is out there passing the ball, and it's probably the best matchup for the position on the slate, like, and in football, I'm just going to take that every time and just figure out the rest. If you're not playing, you know, if I'm not playing Trey McBride, I think Hunter Henry makes a lot of sense with the way that the receiving core is shaping up. Like you said, I mean, if Kyle Williams doesn't fit that profile, but to literally have two to three dudes missing from the wide receiver room who are not going to be going, then just enter in Hunter Henry at 4,500, who is really, you know, showing that he was able to get loose and make some magic happen there last week. So we could run it back again. The New Orleans Saints guys are interesting. You know, Juwan Johnson's got some incentives to go after. He's only 4,200, and he's really, you know, again, if they, Chris Olave, like you said, is expected to go, but he's been in the mix with the target share there from Tyler Shuck, and then Taysom Hill, you know, every year, I mean, Taysom Hill finds his way to come back into our lives. He's 2,700, and he's doing it again. He's doing everything. He plays quarterback, he plays running back, he's out there catching passes, throwing passes. Like, I mean, what can this guy not do? He's 2,700 going against Tennessee. You have to have some interest in there for sure, for me this week at least, with what's going on there. Outside of these guys, Kev, I mean, Tyler Warren at 4,400, you know, has some merit there with Rivers throwing in the ball. Again, it's just, you know, I hate to say it's too many mouths to feed, because I think they, you know, in this matchup, they can definitely get there off of volume, I guess. But it does just become tough to pinpoint who is actually going to be the dude that you know, you want to play. And then I guess, you know, Kev, I'll toss it to you. I mean, Michael Mayer is 2,500 and probably, you know, doesn't need anything repeated. I mean, he's probably one of the best plays on the slate. When Brock Bowers misses, I mean, even with Geno Smith being there, he's able to, you know, put up some points. And at the min, at 2,500, he's going to open up so much for your lineups that, you know, he has to be in consideration. He's probably the Raider that I would target the most of anybody, including Ginty, to get into my lineups, just because of what the salary allows you to do with your lineups. But, you know, Take that as you will. It's a $2,500, you know, tight end, and we possibly have a $2,700 tight end that we can play into lineup. So should be some interesting builds that we see this week. But Kev, before I toss it to you, I did want to talk about the Cleveland situation. So, like, we don't have Njoku, and Harold Fannin's popped up on the injury report as well. So not sure what that means for them, because I don't really know any of these dudes who are going to be potentially playing tight end for them if he's not able to go. Again, it is kind of just an ugly matchup on paper, especially with the way the Pittsburgh side's shaping up. But, like, these, you know, we could have stone minimum guys on the Cleveland side as well, too. And we know Shadur is just, he likes to throw the ball. He likes to chuck. So maybe I guess that opens up something. But I know nothing about these guys, but just wanted to bring it up. Kev, talk to the people about tight end. What are you doing this week?
Yeah, I mean, with what we're seeing from, you know, obviously, I think it kind of changed the slate once Brock Bowers was ruled out and put on IR. Like, because Michael Mayer is $2,500. I mean, he's the stone minimum. And we've seen spots this year where Mayer without Bowers really get there. And so like, it makes it tough because, like, I think the upside's there. Like, he could see, you know, 7-8 targets in this game. He's 2,500. Like, how do you get away from that? And, you know, a tight end this week, like, I mean, obviously it's Trey McBride. Like, Trey McBride can absolutely, you know, just absolutely torch this slate. Like, we've seen him all year be incredible outside of last week when he finally fell off a cliff, but at scoring 6.7. But other than that, I mean, this is a player that has routinely scored, you know, 30 to 40 DraftKings points in multiple weeks. And, you know, he can easily out, you know, make it to where, like, you have to have him. Like, he is certainly one of those guys. And it's the best possible matchup for a tight end. Like, the Bengals all year have just been incredibly bad against tight ends. And so, like, it's hard to get away from that. And he's not drawing, like, crazy ownership. It's only, like, 18% right now. And Michael Mayer is actually, you know, the number one, which makes sense. But, like, you can play double tight end. I mean, you can play Michael Mayer in the flex, you know, to open up your salary, which I think is what you're probably going to see a lot of people do, with Michael Mayer, because at $2,500, it just kind of frees everything else up that you want to do. And so, like, you could definitely do that with them. Harold Fannin, like, I think was trending towards being probably one of the best plays on the slate, especially against Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh has struggled against opposing tight ends this year. But then he picks up this groin injury, like you talked about. So I don't know what's going to – it just popped up today. He said he's going to play. We'll see. Juwan Johnson, great play. Since Rashid Shaheed's left, like, he is routinely, you know, one of the top targets in this offense behind Chris Olave. So Juwan Johnson, you know, on the cheaper side at $4,200. A.J. Barner is somebody that I've kind of talked about. But, you know, since Elijah Arroyo went down, they were kind of splitting time. They were splitting – like, he was seeing about a 41% of the routes. Now with him gone, like, it's been all A.J. Barner here in this offense. And so A.J. Barner, you know, is somebody that I think you could look at, has seen 12 targets over his last two games. And so A.J. Barner is on the cheaper side at $3,600 against Carolina. So I do like him. And then, you know, in terms of stacks, like, yeah, you could definitely play Theo Johnson in a stack. You can play Britton Strange in a stack with Trevor Lawrence. Like, I think both those guys. Now, Taysom Hill, I think, is one of the more polarizing ones, right? Because we saw it last week. He goes out there. He actually leads the backfield and carries with 12 last week, threw a touchdown. Like, it's kind of what he does, but there's, like, I don't know how many times we do this. Taysom Hill has a big game, and then everybody chases him. And then the next game, he does absolutely nothing. And so, like, I don't really know what to expect here. I will say this, as far as the carries are concerned, this is not how you attack the Titans. The Titans have been excellent against the run. Like, since week 9, they have allowed the fewest yards per carry to opposing running backs. They have been incredible against the run. It has been through the air of how you want to get there with him. And so it just really depends on how they decide to utilize Taysom Hill. You know, there's some speculation, though, the reason they utilized him the way they did last week was because it was the last home game, likely with the Saints. I don't know if that's the case or not, but you know, he's not projecting, like, for crazy ownership, and I think a lot of that's because of Michael Mayer opening up. Like, I think if it wasn't for Mayer, he probably would be the second or third highest owned tight end on the slate. But at $2,700, you know, he's only drawing 11% ownership right now, which isn't anything crazy. He could definitely score 20 DraftKings points, but he could also score, like, 2. Like, he is the most volatile one of any of tight ends on the slate, but I think the upside is certainly there for him.
No doubt. I mean, it's going to be a weird slate from a tight end perspective. And did we talk about maybe Elijah Higgins too, Kev? Like, just with the way that Cincinnati's been targeted against tight ends, like, does this guy find his way into lineups? I don't even know where. Like, is he minimum? But he's been kind of in the mix over the past couple. It would be tough for me to get there if Harrison Jr. is out there, but if we get some receivers missing from them in this game at 20, he's minimum. Yeah, he's 2,500. So, like, he could be in the mix as well too, just on leverage there. Or if you're, you know, game stacking that game up or what have you, like, he's definitely not, you know, liable to get a zero. Yeah, I see Bink King's coming in here in the chat. Appreciate you coming in. You don't think you need Mayer. You're not playing him. Yeah, I mean, it depends. If you're playing, you know, if you're playing cash games or you're playing single entry, it's going to be tough because there's going to be so many people that play him to get to some of these high-priced guys. But I think in large field GPPs and what have you, like, there's definitely some merit to not get onto these popular Raiders pieces as well. So I definitely like that build. And that's what we were kind of talking about at the top, Kev. It's like getting creative be able to attack some of these GPPs off of the field, off of what the field's going. Because, you know, between Mayer and Ashton Jeanty, I mean, you're looking at like close to 100% ownership, probably over, honestly, if we're keeping it 100 off their price tags. So yeah, definitely some leverage to be had there. Anything else you like, Kev, at the tight end position before we talk about defense?
I mean, I guess the other one I wanted Tyler Warren, right? But like, I mean, yeah, he's seeing the targets. He's just not doing anything with them right now. Like, it wouldn't shock me if with the amount of targets he's seeing, if he had a 5 for 80 and 1. No, like the talent's definitely there. Like, so like he's kind of a wild card for me at $4,400. But again, there's a lot of volatility there with him.
Yeah, it's kind of annoying because like he's a guy like Alec Pierce just had the 2-touchdown game. I could definitely see that being Tyler Warren this week, you know, just because of the way the offense is the way the matchup sets up. But like, you know, to bank on that, like I don't know if I want to play the $4,400 price tag this week on him. So he might be on the outside looking in for me. But I think if I was stacking up, you know, a Lawrence team, I'd be apt to, you know, get somebody in there, and he might be the path for me to be able to do so. Interesting slate there from a tight end perspective, just in general. So it's going to be a fun one for Sunday main slate. That is for sure. We're going to talk about defense, DJ Nation fam, and get you on up out of here after we build the Millie Maker team. It's the DJ Nation podcast brought by the Fantasy Authority. You can follow the Fantasy Authority on Twitter at NX at FF_Authority. Kev, we got defense this week. Probably a straightforward week for me. I do like targeting the Steelers and Browns defenses both. Browns are 2,500. I don't know why. They're at home. These games are always played tough. Even with, you know, they're pretty much always, you know, over the past couple of years have been out of it, but yet these still, you know, these Steelers and Browns matchups just become slugfest. We know that they can get after the quarterback, and like Aaron Rodgers is just apt to give up if pressure is getting home there. Myles Garrett, you know, they're going to be trying to get him the sack record, which I know he only needs one, but they could just really just be coming after him and providing pressure all game long. And, you know, without DK being out there, you know, I think they make a ton of sense. They're only 2,500. You know, the Steelers as well on the other side, like just targeting Shedeur Sanders every week is something I'm going to be doing. Patriots are 3,900. They're the most expensive defense, but the way the Patriots have been, the special teams has really come on strong for them. Defense is strong, you know, going against Brady Cook, it is on the road, but if I had the salary, I'd be apt to get there. I don't know what the salary is going to be looking like early on my builds, but there's somebody who I'm going to keep in mind. And then the Giants too, going against the Raiders. I mean, Raiders are the most popular team just by players on the slate, even though the Giants are on the road. The Giants have been, you know, pretty solid on you know, on defense. I know the fantasy box score won't say as much, but having some tough matchups, and then they, you know, they have the Minnesota game, which is what we talked about them last week, wanting to target them against that quarterback. I mean, Geno's been, you know, a defense, you know, he gives up a ton of points to the defense that is, and makes it very enticing to target defenses against him. So definitely have some merit to get after him as well. Kev, what's shaping out for you at defense, and where are you looking to go?
Yeah, I think Giants are definitely in play. I think they're a good play. Brian Burns, you know, offensive line is terrible for the Raiders. So 2,900 Browns, completely agree with you on that one as well. $2,500 on them. I think the Bucs are also a really good play against the Dolphins. Obviously, the Bucs, you know, are one of the highest pressure rate teams in the league, and say rookie quarterback and Quinn Ewers. So $3,100 Bucs as well, I think, is another really good avenue to go to at defense. I mean, if you can get up to the Patriots at $3,900 against the Jets and Brady Cook, like, I'm all for it. But with what we're trying to do on this slate, like, I don't think you really need to get up there. So for me, it's pretty much going to be the Bucs, Giants, and Browns are probably going to be the three that I look at the most.
Yeah. I like it. I like getting to the Bucs too and targeting Quinn Ewers. So definitely like that, Kev. Let's build a lineup for the people. Week 17 in the books. That's going to be the main slate breakdown for you. Appreciate DJ Nation fam rocking along with us as always. Before we get out of here, we know what we got to do. We got to build this Millie Maker team. 132,000 plus is in the $20 entry for the Sunday main slate. Millions of first there. It's always fun for us to be able to get after these builds. And with only a 9-game slate here, it's going to be fun to see where the stacks are leaning us, Kev. So this week, Kev, I think I'll start it off for us this week. And I think I'm going to start at wide receiver position and put my money where my mouth is and get Jakobi Meyers into this lineup at only $5,300.
I'm gonna go Jackson Dart.
Okay, I like it. Let's play Wandell then too.
All right. Decide. I think with the way this is going, I'm gonna play Trey McBride.
Okay. Yeah, I like it. Let's see what we can do with throwing in Jamar Chase there as well.
Salary saver. Let's just throw him in to see where we stand. I'll throw in the let's go with the Browns.
All right. We'll put in Browns D. And honestly, I'm going to make it more interesting, Kevin. We'll just put in Michael Mayer in the flex. So $6,400 for our two running back positions that are left is what we're looking at right now. So I could even make it interesting, Kev. Let's just see what happens here. If we go T, that gives us $1,000 more to play with per running back position.
Let's go James Cook. Or actually, no, I'm going to go Saquon. I'll give you Saquon.
Okay.
So $7,200, pretty much ETN down.
Let's just go ETN. Sure. I mean, it's two Jacksonville pieces, but I don't mind that. I mean, the only other thing I would think about doing would be to get to, if we did Barkley, like the only thing I would think about doing would be Tracy gives us 200 short of Jamar Chase.
I mean, I'm fine with going like the Dolphins defense, honestly, like to get him in there because like, let's face it. I mean, one, the Miami Dolphins defense actually played pretty well for the most part. At least their pass rush has been pretty solid. They've been good for the most part against the run recently. So like, you know, if you're trying to fit something in, like, I don't mind just playing the Dolphins against the Bucs. And then, you know, allows you to get Jamar Chase in and then, you know, dropping down to Tracy. Like, I don't mind doing that in a triple stack here with Tracy, Wandale, and Jackson Dart. If you want to do that.
So we're doing Tracy.
Let me go. So it's Dart, Barkley, Tracy, Myers, Robinson, Chase, McBride, Mayer, and Dolphins D. $100 on the table.
Mayer. Tracy. I was playing around with stuff, so I forgot what we had. Okay.
I mean, or if you wanted to, instead of going Saquon, you could drop down to ETN. And
No. I like getting Saquon. I mean, I do kind of like ETN too. I was trying to figure out if there was a way, you know, if we're playing it, I almost was trying to see if we do three running back build, you know, to get Etienne, Tracy, and Saquon and just not play Chase. It's like if Chase is such a good on paper play, but like if he is really going nuclear, like then you just might as well play Burrow, right? That's what kind of got me to the Higgins play. Because I feel like Higgins kind of definitely takes away from that kind of correlation. But he I feel like he can pop. He definitely pops in games where Burrow goes definitely bananas. But like these games where Higgins didn't get off, it's like that's your leverage off of Chase not getting there. But let's just see if we did go Tracy, or I'm sorry, we already have Tracy. If we did go Etienne in the flex at 7,100, so if we still kept Dolphins D, we could play Trey Tucker.
And then what would you? Oh, you mean instead of playing Barkley?
No, it's Barkley too. It's Jaxson Dart, Saquon Barkley, Tyrone Tracy, Jacoby Myers, Wandell Robinson, Trey Tucker, Trey McBride, Travis Etienne, Dolphins D, zero salary.
Oh, okay, I see. You're just not doing the mini stack.
Yeah. But I'll leave it to you, Kev. I mean, the mini stack is fire too, but you know, you get some leverage there.
I mean, if you're really, I mean, we could also, I mean, I'm not saying we have to, but like you could also, if you wanted to, and this to have that correlation, you could drop down from Barkley down to Chase Brown and do Chase Brown. Just say that, like, you know, and telling the story of the lineup that, you know,
yeah,
Joe Burrow doesn't go nuclear and he, you know, a lot of the production goes to the running backs. And you go Chase Brown and Trey McBride as that mini stack instead of Barkley. But
yeah, it's, I think I'd much rather have Chase with Burrow though, or Brown, that is. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, I guess he could get, you know, he could get two rushing touchdowns, but I feel like his real path to upside is by getting that pass catching work, right?
Yeah, but I'm fine with this lineup with the one. Yeah, so let's run. Cool. I like this one a little bit more.
Yeah, well, let's roll with it then and see what happens. See what the slate brings us. So we're gonna go. That's Jaxson Dart, Saquon Barkley, Tyrone Tracy, Jacoby Myers, Wandell Robinson, Trey Tucker, and Travis Etienne. We'll make sure that Tyrone Tracy is in the flex there with playing in that 3 o'clock window. And that's going to use the salary. So we'll definitely monitor things. But, you know, I think this definitely is a GPP lineup for sure. You provide leverage there. You still get exposure to that Raiders offense that's going to be popular, but you get it in a way that maybe people aren't going as the one-off. So, yeah, I like where it's at, Kev. It's a fun week 17 slate to build around. Fun for GPPs, for those of you guys who play max entry, because I feel like there is going to be some very high score this week and potentially some higher leverage spots that you're going to want to get to. Any last words for the people, Kev, before we sign out for the week?
Notice that's about it, because, you know, next week is just absolutely ridiculous with week 18. It always is. And it probably is going to be even more so than normal because there's just no really teams. I think the only game that we're really – and that game could get put to rest too is right now, at least it's like teams that is the NFC South. Between the Panthers and Bucks, and like if the Panthers were to win and Bucks were to lose, I think the Panthers clinched the division. So at that point, like it just becomes like there's really not a lot left for next week. Where I think it's going to be really, really gross, and one where you're probably just a lot better off just playing light. But so this is like the last main slate of the year, and enjoy it. I know it's only a 9-gamer, but it's still pretty solid. I think there's a lot of different directions. And just really, it doesn't take much with the way that this slate is lining up just to get a little bit of leverage off the field and make your lineups a little bit different.
Yeah, no, definitely. It's a fun one. You know, 9-game main slate this week in the season, this late in the season, I should say, is one that we've definitely are just starting to get accustomed to with the way the NFL schedule has been shaping out with the holidays. But, you know, it'll definitely be a fun one. And as Kev kind of alluded to, you know, with week 18 madness, kind of being all over the place and so unpredictable. It'll probably be a week off for the Degeneration podcast. We appreciate you guys, you know, rocking along with us all year. And you know that we come on here and our Degens with you, breaking down anything and everything, but with just so much uncertainty and everything kind of leading up till Sunday lock, literally Sunday lock. It makes it tough to be able to break it down for you guys in a meaningful way. So we'll take week 18 off. And as always, we'll be back breaking down the playoff slates with you guys as well. I'm looking forward to do so. So we'll recharge those batteries. But we hope to see you guys still in the DFS streets, as you know, you can bet on me and Kev still being out there for week 18. But before then, we got this week 17 that we're going to get after. So good luck to you guys with your week 17 builds. For those of you guys playing that Saturday 2 game slate, good luck to you. And also good luck to all you guys who are playing those regular season and dynasty championships this week as well. Go home and take home the gold. And while you do that, add on to it and get after this DFS money that is for the taking. We appreciate you guys. It's the Degen Nation podcast, powered by the Fantasy Authority at FF underscore authority. Follow us on Twitter and X. Signing off for Kevin Steele, the godfather of TFA himself, at Fantasy Route 13 is where you can find him on Twitter and X. Ryan Williams here at Ryan Alexander underscore W on Twitter and X. We'll catch you guys in a couple of weeks to break down wild card football. But until then, you already know what to do. Get this money. We'll see you on the flip side, DJ Nation fam. You can tell me what to do. You know who you're talking to. Well, you better get used to the way the ball bounces. I see what you got in measures and ounces. But that's a break, boy. You're a big man. I'll treat you like you're a little man. Don't tell me what it's like to be half a man. It must break your heart to see what I am. What? That's a break, boy. Yeah, that's a break, little man. Break it down.
Hey, hockey fans! Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
If you're an HVAC technician and a call comes in, Grainger knows that you need a partner that helps you find the right product, fast and hassle-free. And you know that when the first problem of the day is a clanking blower motor, there's no need to break a sweat. With Grainger's easy-to-use website and product details, you're confident you'll soon have everything humming right along. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.